Have that dump button ready, because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There is no way that I'm tapping out now.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
Another riveting Sunday of Jets football, everybody. Welcome. Hey. You know what's crazy about these guys? The way the game has started, right? Five. Not one, not two, not three, not four. Five possessions in a row, no first downs. You can't help, at least I did this, you can't help but shift and say, all right, on some strangely perverse, insane, torturous level, I almost want to see if they could go six without getting a first down. And then seven. Like, how bad can the ineptitude get? How low are we going today, boys? Like, is this all-time bad? And because they're the Jets, hey, throw another line in there. Just kind of keep that there. Oh, we got the Jet fan back. Let me sink the hook. Let me get you back in. They don't even know how to lose. That's what's so sad about this. The fluctuations with their performance, I mean, you got to laugh. You have to laugh. If you don't laugh, don't even watch, which quite frankly, I didn't really feel like doing. I was enjoying the St. John's game more. Nice job, Johnny's, taking out New Mexico. I mean, you have no timeouts at the end. What a stunner. If you told me, hey, the Jets are going to be, you know, within a point, excuse me, they're going to be right there at the end of the game, and they got a chance to win, and they're here, and there's 46 seconds to go, and you ask me how many timeouts will they have, my answer will be none, because I would fully expect that they would burn them like the bozos that they are. Oh, you got to laugh here. Let's see. Let's rattle off some more inept statistics, shall we? So I find this really interesting. Rodgers, they put this up on the screen today. By the way, welcome back to Unkillable. How's everybody doing today? Appreciate you guys hanging. We'll get the comments rolling. Fire away. Unfiltered. Say whatever you want. So in Green Bay, which encompassed 241 regular season games, 18 years, Aaron Rodgers once had four straight drives without a first down. As a Jet, all of 11 games, he's had three. Just think about the math. 241 games, Packers, one time, four drives in a row, no first downs. In almost 250 games, he comes here. What do? Like I said on the first podcast, we are the legend killers. Roddy Piper, if you're an old school wrestling fan, Roddy Piper wore a shirt and it literally read legend killer after he, you know, smashed Snuka. You know, took Jimmy's dignity. I love Snuka, but I was more of a Piper guy. I didn't like seeing that happen to Snuka, but it did. And once that happened, you know, he brazenly walked around wearing a shirt that said legend killer. That's the Jets. They kill legends. It really is. I mean, where do you go? Where do you go? It is funny, though. Like, there's a lot of shitty teams out there. There's not many teams that, like, really do strap you into this ride where the first part of the roller coaster, you're like, oh, my God, this is the absolute lamest roller coaster ride that I've ever been on in my life. It is boring. Forget about points. There's no first downs. There's no big plays. You're like, when does it end? When can I just flip to a real game? You know, Knicks are on at what, 7? Bills, Pats, you know, at that point early, a couple of hours away. Well, what the hell am I going to do? You know, and then all of a sudden, after going, here's another stat for you, a very Jets-like stat. After going 78 consecutive plays without a score, they then scored two touchdowns on three plays. And then, you know, because Breeze Hall's in the middle and, you know, the Jets, the stadium sounds like it's energized. I want to get back to that in a second about the stadium. You're like, of course you get sucked in because they're not mathematically eliminated. Yeah, you're watching the Dolphins score and, you know, the Raiders suck. So, you know, they're going to beat them. I even went so far, and I did think the Jets were going to win this game. Wrong again, but I did. I thought they'd win on Friday. I said that on the fan. I thought that not in the first quarter, but once they took the lead, I actually thought they might win going away. And they didn't. Well, I did check. I'm like, all right, let me just see. All right, I know the Raiders are losing to the Dolphins. That's not a surprise. I mean, not a surprise. You're going to get no help there. I went so far as to go to week 12, and I'm like, all right, well, who's playing where? Jets have a bye if they're 4-7, you know, going into the Seattle. What the fuck? What are we doing here? But I can't even describe this season. Like, I really can't even describe it, dude. I joke around, right? And I'm not kidding. It's true. Like, when I was a young student, math, I didn't connect with math, right? I just didn't. For whatever reason, I don't mean multiplication, things that you could just drill. I mean, when you had to do a deep dive mathematical equation, my head's in space. I'm thinking about my next CYO game. I'm thinking about everything, but like my mind would wander. When it came to words and structuring sentences and, you know, whatever, it was fairly natural, and I really enjoyed it. I don't have a word for this whatever. I don't know. Because usually when they're bad, there's no suspense. This is like all time conflicting because of now the Rodgers dynamic. And now he says he probably wants to come back in 2025. No thanks, by the way, Aaron. We're good. We're good. We're prepared to move on. Maybe, you know, somebody could get Aaron this memo. No disrespect, legend. But as I said, the Jets are legend killers. And he's officially done. He can't move. He can't run. I'm sitting there watching the game with my 9-year-old son, still cheering on those Jets. I love it. And he's like, Dad, he can't run. And, you know, he plays quarterback. I mentioned that on the show. So he understands, you know, even more than just basic concepts. But his point was, and then he expressed it, you know, like when you're not a threat to run, the defense can now do this. And now it's easy to defend. It's like anybody can see this, you know. I don't understand this. This is beyond perplexing. I mean, even like the shittiest Jet teams, 0-6, 1-15, 3-13 in the mid-90s. You know, pick any other, basically one of any 8 or 9 seasons, certainly post to 2012. Pick your choice. You know, take any quarterback that looked lost, and we know the names. I don't need to regurgitate them. Even those guys, I did not see them have the amount of miscommunication with their receivers like Aaron Rodgers does. Do they know the fucking plays? Like, honestly, do they know the plays? It's insane. I watched this. All right, this guy's zigging here. That guy's zigging there. This guy's going deep. Rodgers throwing short. This guy going short, Rodgers throwing deep. This guy going like a little shallow cross route, Rodgers thinks he's going to stop. It is ridiculous how they don't know the plays. And even beyond comprehension is the fact that the guy who seems to be in the middle of the most is the guy that he played with for a decade, Devontae Adams. Whoa, man. Wow. Well, it's officially a wrap. So it is obviously a wrap. And now we'll piece it together and we'll start looking at coaches and GMs and everything else, draft choices. But yeah, I did want to say this about MetLife. And I was actually at MetLife yesterday for an amazing event. I'm going to give a shout out right now. It was awesome. It's called Soldiers to Sidelines, right? And what they do is they take, obviously, you know, military personnel and those of whom who are looking to transition into coaching. Many played Division I football, you know, highly ranked in any of the different branches of the whether it's the Army, the Air Force, everything, the Marines, of course, you name it. And they had about 100 kids on the field, and it was great. It was just, it wasn't a game. It was just instruction, and the stadium looked good, and it was obviously set up for the Jets here. And I'm watching, and again, Soldiers to Sidelines. If you guys want to support it, it's an amazing initiative. They did a great job. So honestly, salute and thank you. My son had a great time. His buddies were out there. It was awesome, right? And back to MetLife. That's my, I just wanted to give him a shout out. Now I want to say this about MetLife. You know, it sounds, I know we always complain about the stadium. Ah, the stadium sucks. Ah, how much money to build this stadium? Ah, look at all the other stadiums around America. How come ours looks like, you know, a teenager's braces, you know what I mean? Or an air conditioning. You've heard the jokes, right? But when that place gets loud and when the Jets just give the fans a modicum of hope, a speck, just a crumb. We're not getting steak. We're not getting lobster. We know that. We're not getting a nice hearty pasta dish. Which is, you give us a crumb, and we're the happiest people in the world. And it hit me today, and I've always known this, and I'm one of you, and you know, it's hence the pod and everything that comes with it. Like, we know we're resilient, and we know that we're in for the long haul. But man, like, when the Jets have a chance to win a game, even a game that, let's face it, they're not winning up in Buffalo, even if they would have won today. It's probably going to beat Miami once, if that. And now I think they lose twice. The point being, there wasn't much hope, all right? But it wasn't dead. So that was our little crumb. And for about 7 or 8 minutes of football, like, the crowd, like, if I just flicked on the channel, I actually thought this. If I just flicked on the channel and I saw Rodgers and it was after a touchdown and I just closed my eyes after I saw Rodgers and I listened to the crowd, I would think that they're 8-2. I would think that everything that we thought about the 2024 Jets was coming to fruition. No, it's not, though. It's absolutely not. Wow. I don't know, man. Where's my guy, Evan? I'm sure he's on life support as well. Now, lucky for Evan, he is a young Jet fan. So he's not been tormented like me. Dude, I mean, you and I were talking very briefly before we fired this thing up. Yeah. I mean, every week it's a different script of ineptitude every week.
Yeah, no, I was actually thinking as they were blowing it and as that final drive was completely falling apart and Rodgers had no idea what he was doing, I was thinking to myself, I was like, would I rather have gotten blown out like we did last week by like 900 points, or would I rather have lost on a last second one? And I don't really know which one I would rather.
Well, if I had to pin you down for an answer, because I've actually talked about that on the radio, I hear you. What is your answer if you had to give us one?
Honestly, probably lose by a million. Because I feel like if you lose by a million, you can disassociate and you can be like, all right, like the apathy starts to set in, then you're just but not actually looking. Whereas in the last second by like one or two, where you still have hope and they're just tearing away every second.
Yeah. You know what? Evan, I think as a general concept, I agree with you. But pertaining to the Jets, I don't think I agree with you, because you say, you know, with the apathy, you reference apathy.
Yeah.
We have been so apathetic for so long. Even if it's 23 minutes of real time enjoyment on a Sunday, it's better than most what we've gotten for over 10 years.
True.
I mean, it's fleeting and it doesn't lead anywhere, but at least it's like temporarily scratching the mosquito bite. Honestly, feels good. And that's like, this thing's still itchy. I'm sure I want to get into a report from my guy, Connor Green, who's very good. Connor Hughes, pardon me. Connor Green's very good as well in the postgame. Yeah. Connor Hughes from SNY, both from SNY. And I'll do that in a little bit. I'm sure people are rifling off some thoughts. Has anything jumped out yet, Evan? Anything? Is everybody calm and lucid at this point?
No, there's a lot of like, I can't believe anybody had hope, which to that I'm like, you can't live without hope. I mean, you gotta at least pretend like you got some hope. But but then there's been some interesting ones. Somebody said, who looked more cook, Mike Tyson on Friday night or Aaron Rodgers in this game?
Oh my God. Speaking of it, did you actually watch the Tyson fight Friday?
Yeah, that was brutal.
Well, I think, again, coming from me who saw him in his prime, it was so sad. Like, I'm not going to just take a massive turn there, but it very topical. And obviously a lot of people watch it on Netflix, and Jake Paul is a marketing sensation and not a terrible boxer. He's got pretty heavy hands, but Tyson looked to me like sedated. Like he looked like, even in the locker room, like he just, by the way, do we need the ass cheek?
And then it's all everywhere on social media. I'm trying to see if any free agent news happened or whatever. And all you see is his butt everywhere.
I know. And I'm watching, because it was a weekend, the whole family was staying up. We were watching in our bed. Yeah. My daughter eventually fell asleep before the fight. The fight before it was great. That was a great fight.
Yeah.
And that was a screw job. That's why you can't take boxing seriously. But so my daughter, who's 8, she's still awake. My son, who's 9, he's awake. My wife's next to me. We're laying in bed watching it. I see Mike Tyson walking across like he's with a jock strap on him. Come on, dude. All right. So I want to get to the Connor report in a minute. Give me a couple of more here. What do we have?
Like this guy, Lawrence Yan says, how many times do we have to watch Clemens get ran by for touchdowns? It's like a crazy thing that it's like that guy. It seems like everybody in the fan base kind of understands that he's not very good.
He stinks.
For some reason, the coaching staff just seems to love him. I don't know if it's like he's crazy. He's got like the James Harrison kind of vibe.
I don't know
what the thing is, but.
They're scared to bench him. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he brings it, and he's got a good motor, I'm sure, in practice. He doesn't do anything as a football player. He does absolutely nothing. You know, I'm once again, Sauce, how about the pump fake, the pump and go? I mean, come on, man. That's a rookie biting on that for that 38-yard reception down the stretch, which obviously put the Colts in a good position to score. How the hell do you have no timeouts? I mean, listen, I do think that they – and I'm watching this, and I'm like, all right, their defense isn't very good. Maybe you bypass the three. You know, you have the lead, so even if you get stopped, you could still have a chance to win. Go for the first down and just go for the win. Like, don't – that's a reckless play. I get it. And that's the kind of move where if Ulbrich does that, not that he should be back next year, but that goes into the report that I'm going to get into in a minute, which is interesting. I would have been very – bump coach and very conflicted. I would have been like, you know what, shove it down their throat for 2 yards, move the sticks, tick, tick, it's over. Instead, what do they do? And you knew they were going to, you know, try to get him to jump. They burn a timeout. They burn a timeout trying to get them to jump off sides. Like, they are really – they're just a bunch of idiots.
Yeah. It's clowns. It's just everybody thinks they know better than each other, you know, and it's just nobody knows any better than anybody.
I mean, and when I say idiots, I mean in the football sense. I'm not trying to, you know, take those low shots. They're all accomplished athletes. Come on, man. To get in the NFL, it's amazing. To become an NFL coach, you have grinded your butt off. I respect it. But you know what? There's a lot of other teams that have players and coaches, too. They don't look this bad every single week. It's just ridiculous. All right, now, so this report with Connor, this is interesting to me. I'm going to read this here. It's a little lengthy, but so quote, this is from Connor Hughes earlier today on Aaron's future with the Jets. Where is it? All right, a new GM means a new view on the roster. I would like that. As I just insert some commentary, a new coach, when I get like serious voice, that's him. Then a new coach means a new offensive scheme. Among the reasons Rodgers was drawn to the Jets in the first place was that they afforded him the chance to run the offense that he wanted, bring the players in that he coveted. That would not be the case next year. Clearly, hopefully, you never know, honestly, with Woody and Chris, you never know. But anyway, back to his report. An aging quarterback learning a brand new system in what will very likely be the final year of his career. That's a reason that reads far-fetched. He goes into more here. Now, he says stability is believed to be the deciding factor on Aaron's returning for a third year with the Jets, which means Ulbrich and Douglas retaining their positions. What? And then Rodgers reaffirmed that this week when he said he hopes to play for Ulbrich, quote, until the end. Listen. Let's just call it for what it is. Ulbrich's not a head coach. I'm not saying that he can't ever become one. He can't learn here, okay? And it's a shame that as the DC doing a really good job, he was thrust into this position because even though I think Saleh was awful, in hindsight, it was a hasty fire because they've gotten a lot worse. They gave up about 17 and a half, 18 points a game with Saleh defensively as the coach. And with Ulbrich, who was doing a really good job as the DC, as I just said, it's gone from like 18 to 26 or so. So there's a precipitous drop here. So he's a defensive coach. The defense has gotten worse. They don't win. What in the world are we bringing him back for? There's no way. And this is where the charade has to end. And I'm dead serious. I don't care what Aaron Rodgers wants. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I'm not even remotely interested in listening to what he might be contemplating doing. I'm done. I'm out. It's over. There's the tap. All right, you got me. I'm tapping out. I'm done. I'm good. You got me. I'm tapping out. It's over. And I'm not mad at the Jets for, you know, throwing this Hail Mary, as I said on the Thursday pod. By the way, if you missed that, Willie Colon was with me. Big Willie C. And it was great. Talked about Gruden. Talked about Rex. Talked about Belichick. Talked about Vrabel. Talked about Rodgers. It was outstanding. So just going wherever you get your pods, check it out. If you want to get the YouTube versions, well, you could do that. But I told you guys on Thursday, like, I understand that, you know, it didn't work out and it sucks, but there's no way that you can justify a triple down on this. All right, first game, gets hurt. You know you're rolling it back this year. You had to. You owed it to yourself. You owed it to, I guess, an extent, Rodgers. You owed it to the fans. You know, all the excitement, all the hype, the belief based on the roster. I know we always say that, but I don't like the roster now, but coming into the season, the roster was thought to be really, really good, you know? And you had to roll it back. You had to get one full season with Rodgers. Here's the season. They're 3-8. And the offense is inept. And it's now, I believe, 33. Where are we at with that? Another interesting stat. 32 or 33 games. I think it's 33 now, where Rodgers has failed to go over 300 yards. This is not 1976, where, you know, there's no basically, you know, 7 or 8 free completions, checkdowns, or, you know, dump offs that are going to get the completion percentage up, a little yak, get some yards. I mean, back in the 70s, those free easy ones weren't there. They're there now, and the rules favor the offense, and it's still been 33 games since he's thrown for 3 Bills. That's a problem. That's one of many problems. The biggest problem. I'm going to be careful here. See if I really say this. Yeah, I do. If they bring back, if Ulbrich is the head coach next year, I'm not a Jets fan anymore. I'm out. I will not adopt another team. That's not the way I can't do it. There is no way that I can feign interest. There is no way. I can't. Like, I wouldn't. It's against everything as a sports fan, as a person, the way that I'm wired. When I'm in, I'm all in, and I can't go anywhere else, right? But I can go out without then going somewhere else, which is different, and that I can live with. There is no way that Ulbrich could be the head coach next year. You just can't do it. Now, if Belichick, and again, that is a pipe dream. I just go through the list. Belichick's not coming here. He hates the Jets. But if Belichick or Vrabel or Gruden, and I'm even lukewarm on Gruden. I want Vrabel. That's my guy. Why he would want us is an entirely different story. Probably doesn't, but I would like him. But if one of those guys said, I want Rodgers for one more year. I've seen a couple things on defense that were just out of whack that I could fix like that. That's all right. Okay. All right. You got to acquiesce to the proven winning coach. If they come back with Ulbrich and Rodgers and Joe Douglas, I'm going to still do the pod, but I'm going to have to take it in such a radically different direction, like the anti-Jet fan. Not that I'm sitting here up here with pom-poms. I crush them as much as anybody, but you guys know I want the Jets to win. I'm just honest and I'm raw and I'm a realist with this shit show. It's awful. But I'm done at that point. Not that they care. Trust me. I know I'm not important enough to have this thread. Ooh, did you see Tierney with the pod and the guy on FAN? Ooh, he said he's going to stop being a Jets fan. If we don't care. Care what anybody thinks, you know? Trust me. It was not intended to be that way at all. But that's the way it would be. Because at that point, it would just be insane to keep rooting for this team. And that would suck because, you know, then they'll stumble upon a really good year. The Cardinals did it. Look at the Lions now. Lions, well, they score 52. My God, they're just destroying people. Eventually, even the Jets will have a really good year. And if I was to check out and just not care, watching that renaissance would be painful. It would hurt. It would really hurt. And then, you know, I would jump back in, but it wouldn't quite feel the same. And is it fraudulent? Like, I don't want to have to deal with that stuff. Don't make me think about this, Jets. What are you doing? What am I even saying, Evan? What? Ah, man, oh, man. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Yeah. How about that report, though? Oh, Rodgers wants continuity.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
You know who Ulbrich kind of reminds me of and why I think it would be a terrible thing? You remember Jim Tom Sula, the guy?
Of course.
We already stunk.
Yes.
And then he started coaching like NFL Europe or something. That's what it feels like.
I remember him with the Niners, right? He's with the Niners a little bit. Yeah, Tom
Sula. His hair coming out and everything. He was like a nature boy or whatever. But the one head coaching thing that also scared me a little bit was Brian Costello. When he wrote earlier this week that Matt Nagy would be the best option.
Oh, God. Like, I know. Come on. I saw that. No. I know. It's deplorably bad. It's despicably bad. You know, and again, really, the thing that's crazy about this Jets team is that there were a lot of other seasons like this where, all right, you put them on, you watch it like a zombie, you lose 21-6, you lose 30-7, but this is so uniquely different because of the expectations, the reality that even though Rodgers has not been Rodgers here, we're still watching Aaron Rodgers, who's one of the best quarterbacks of all time ever. I mean, to me, and I said this a few times on the pod, many times on the radio, to me, if you were to look at all the different tools of a quarterback, I think Aaron Rodgers has the most tools. I really do. I mean, I when you look at that conveyor belt of, you know, stamp, all right, you're a quarterback, we give you this, we give you, you know, the big frame, the rocket front arm, the brain, the process ability. He's got everything. Now, he doesn't have a Big Ben body or even a Dan Marino build, but he has it all. And it's gone, and it's sad. There was one play in the first half that I recorded. Honestly, I was going to put – sometimes I'll watch the game, and I'll take a little video. I'll put it on social media. I'm like, I'm not even waste my time. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, they didn't have a first down. I'm like, fuck it. I'm not even doing it. Yeah. But I studied it. I examined it, and it was – I mean, Garrett Wilson was wide open. He threw it 3.5 feet behind. Remember that play on third down? Like, dude, how do you – and I'm trying to understand why he's missing that. Is it that, well, there's a lot of reasons, but I'm trying to boil it down to the main. Is it first that, boom, the offensive line's not very good? Again, so automatically pressure, he's got to retreat. And because of the injury, because he's older, you get older, you're less willing to take the big shot. So you kind of, you're a little jumpy. You want to get rid of that ball that 1/100th of a second earlier so you can't get hit. And when you do that, it's either, you know, 3 yards behind somebody or 3 yards in front of somebody rather than just waiting for that and running the risk of getting hit. I don't think he wants to get hit. And I don't blame him like that. I'll defend him in that regard. I mean, I would not want to be thinking about 40 years old. I wouldn't want to be 30 years old getting hit by these guys. They're huge. I get it. And Rodgers, like, that's the one thing he was not blessed with, like a massive body. He's not diminutive like, say, Tua or one of those little guys. He's not that, but he's not bulky. He's about 6'2", 6'3", 220. Good size for, you know, a guy walking down the street. Average size, if not a little less than in the NFL. So I really think that that's the main problem. He's just jumpy. But they are the miscommunication to me is something that I just cannot wrap my mind around. How it's not been solved at this point. It's really, it's beyond. I mean, disconcerting was week one when I saw it happen. I'm like, I thought they'd be a little bit better on the same page against, not beat the Niners, but a little more in sync. And then Tennessee had a little flash, that wheel route to Breece Hall, you know, and, all right. And then the Patriots, here we go. Yeah. And then, like, really every single week, it's just, Evan, am I exaggerating? It's at least 3 or 4 times, at least, when I see Rodgers after a miscommunication, a misfire, either going like this or rolling his eyes, you know what that means. And the receiver putting his hands up. Like, it is amazing the amount of miscommunication with Rodgers. It's like, it's almost like he's a rookie. It's bizarre.
Yeah. And it, like, that's why I felt like Willie's comment about how his brain is still in the same way of like being a top quarterback, but his body's breaking down on him.
Yeah.
The way he throws it breaking down is because I think in his head, and granted, I don't necessarily know the insides of it, and I don't know if the wide receiver is just making a dumb route. Like, you know, Mike Williams, after he gets tweeted, he, like, puts hashtag, like, red line because they were saying Rodgers.
Yeah. And don't forget the snake emoji. Keep going. Yeah, he dropped that as well.
Exactly. So it's like, I don't know if Rodgers is just, like, these guys are just not catching on to what he's trying to do, or if it's a very much like a situation with Willie Colon where it's like, Rodgers in his brain is like, oh man, I made that throw perfect. And these guys are like, dude, like, I was supposed to be there and you were supposed to throw it 3 seconds earlier when I was earlier in my cut or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's why when I said before, like, no, you don't make the rules anymore, man. You had the keys to the kingdom, personnel decisions, whether it was Lazard and Evan Turner going back to, you know, right away, Cobb, and now obviously Davante Adams, all the stuff that he's done, right? And some of them, like, I wanted Adams. I'm like, yeah, go for him. Of course, I'll take whatever I can get. Yeah. But if the Jets were losing and they were still 3-8 or maybe even had four wins and still going nowhere, and their offense was like 11th or 12th, and they're putting up 20-something points a game, and one or two times this year they had an outburst where I'm like, okay, I can at least see the remnants. I could see, you know, with a little, maybe one more O-line and a little bit of a tweak to the scheme, maybe next year you tighten up the defense, all system go. Like, if that was the case and he was espousing his belief and his conviction in Ulbrich to still play for him, I'd say, all right, I don't think Ulbrich's a head coach, but, you know, I mean, Rodgers looks good and he's comfortable, and I don't want to mess around with a new coach, a new system. I get that. The offense stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not only five straight three and outs, they had 9 yards, 9 in the first quarter, 9 fucking yards. How do you football? Listen, the one thing about football, and I watch it with my son, they're out there, and they're not out there every night because they're 9, but they're out there 3-4 days a week. And it's an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes, and it's constant repetition. Snap, do it again. Do it again. Good. You do it right until you, and then you move on to the next play. That's what they do at that level. I promise you, it's very similar at this level, but now there's film, and now every day, and you're going to lift, and you're in the facility eating, and you just constant communication, and the practices are longer. It's your job, dude. There's a playbook. You have to know every nook and cranny of it, offensively and defensively. And then they hit the field, and like, it's one thing if they lost 30-27, and it was a balanced game from the outset. All right, Jets scored their first drive or field goal, and maybe the Colts scored a touchdown. Then maybe they both punt, and then maybe the Jets scored a touchdown. It's like for an hour and a half, it's literally nothing. What are they doing in practice? It's a rhetorical question because I know they're working on what they're trying to do. But the fact that there's no execution, if you don't execute, it's one of two things. You either have the wrong players or you have the wrong coach. I believe, at least from an offensive perspective, the defense is vastly overrated. I think offensively, I think they've got more players than not, which means to me, it's coaching, which means next year I have no interest. And I like Ulbrich. I do. But back to really the main theme of the show today, you cannot bring him back. You can't do it.
Yeah, no. And it's kind of also shown even, I mean, it's like a much different talent situation there, but it's kind of shown with Antonio Pierce in Las Vegas, right? It was like everybody's pounding the table for him to come back. And granted, they don't have the talent that the Jets have. And if Aaron Rodgers is playing his game, it might be different. But it kind of shows that, like, it kind of is rare that an interim coach ends up being a really, really good long-term coach.
Yep.
Like, interim kind of for a reason. And it's like every now and then you'll hit on one, but it's scary.
Fair. And you're not wrong. Like, historically, there's not many.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's necessarily – and forget about Ulbrich, just as a general premise here. Yeah. I think the reason why that happens is when an NFL coach gets fired midseason, right, and you bring in the interim, like, the locker room is either completely broken and devoid of any sort of professionalism, or they just have zero talent. So I don't really know how that coach can look good. So think about it. You get fired. Oh, the team's 2-6, 1-8, 2-9. All right. Half the team's mentally checked out. Yeah. And, you know, they're waiting for the golf vacations and the beach vacations and trying not to get hurt and whatever, collect their money. You know, not that you have no diligent pros, but they're very few of them at that point. And you got a guy who's trying to rally everything together and giving it everything that he's got. But they either don't have a QB or they don't have an offensive line or they can't stop them. Like, there is such a massive malfunction, usually in more places than one, when a guy gets fired during the season.
Yeah.
How does an interim have a real chance to look good? So it's less about the quality of the coach, usually, in my opinion, or maybe it's equal. Maybe he's just not quite the head coach caliber and he's elevated just out of hoping to get a little bump up, that emotional little bump up. But I just think it's really because of dearth of talent. It is what it is.
Yeah. Cause it's like, and it's also, I guess it might also be like some of the interns around the league. Like, for example, the guy with the Saints, Rizzi, has now won 2 games in a row. Now, granted, it'd just be the opponents kind of stunk, you know, the Browns and them. But
yeah.
But yeah, it like comes to like a weird situation where it's like, do you want to hang on to the guy? Is it the talent? Is it the coaching? Is it, you know, is it just you need to bring the energy and to try to get these guys come back to life a little bit more?
Well, that's what I worry about. And just to bring a full circle with the Jets here, forget about Ulbrich and forget about where they are right now, because where they are right now, It's completely insignificant. It's over.
Yeah.
My fear is that because the fans are going to be clamoring for change, pound the flesh, you know, when you, again, it's one thing to sit through a 3-win season when you know going in, you got nothing. Jeremy Curley's your best receiver. Like, no disrespect to Curley, but you know what I mean, right?
Yep.
That kind of Jets team. All right. And when you're not expecting much, generally the bite back is not nearly as vicious because you're already predisposed as a fan to expect very little. So unless you're just a raving lunatic who wants to yell for the sake of yelling, why get worked up over something that you expected to happen? Like, that's idiotic to me. That's a waste of energy. It's moronic. It's unintelligent. It's all those things, right? This is different. Now you have, there's such a venomous feel within the Jet fan base that Woody's going to hear this. And even with the Connor Hughes story with Ulbrich and Rodgers, and he wants continuity and Joe Douglas, I think it's going to get so loud. I know it's going to get loud on my show with Sal. That's for damn straight. You can take that one to the bank. We will be screaming about this tomorrow and to the high heavens, because he was on Solo today, and that's how I actually heard this report. I was coming back from my daughter's soccer game, and he read Connor's story. I'm like, oh, excuse me. I already know where Sal and I are going tomorrow, and it's going to be dark and it's going to be loud with the Jets. But I do think at some point soon, there's going to be a mental acquiescing of from Woody, and he's going to give the fans a piece of meat. And it's my fear that it's Rex.
Yeah.
That's the easiest solution for him. He doesn't have to do, I mean, yes, you've got to do interviews and, you know, you've got to satisfy the Rooney rule, as you should. Although, yeah, that's not even done right too often, unfortunately. Yeah. But like with Rex, it's already built in. He knows the team. I mean, he's basically begging every single day on TV to be a coach. Like, come on. I get it. But, you know, now you're crossing. Come on, dude. I have a little self-respect. I mean, you're basically begging for the job, man. Yeah. So, Evan, if that happens, I mean, again, I really do like Rex, but because I know Belichick's not coming. I don't think Vrabel's going to come. So I think he's going to have much better offers.
Yeah.
I think that they know that they can't go like Ben Johnson coordinator. Ben wouldn't want to come anyway, but like coordinator. So yeah. They've got, and I don't think they've got the appetite for Gruden, which means that boy Rex could be in play. Oh my God.
Yeah. The candidate, every time the candidate list comes out, cause it's always an interesting list, you know, it's like, oh, we're interviewing this like safeties coach who's been here 5 seconds. We're interviewing some random guy, but then they actually get to like the meat and potatoes part of it.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you got to go for those four, but then, you know, maybe Rex, he obviously already knows Woody. So he might already be sending texts right now, kind of like kind of getting in Woody's head a little bit. So it'd be like, oh, Rex Ryan. Because nobody
listen, I don't think he needs to even send a text. I think it's been very clear anytime he's on a radio interview or does the TV. Like, you know, I'm sure Woody knows, but I wouldn't doubt if they had that direct line of communication. All right. Get ready to bounce pretty soon here. I want to run through one more thing real fast here. Before I do, any more reactions? Like, I know where the Jet fan is, but I don't want to pretend to know where the Jet fan is, because there's a couple of different places to be. One would be the apathetic direction, yep, which we referenced before. I think it's hard to be irate at this point because it's been a slow awareness, like, all right, this season's going nowhere. But in between apathetic and irate, I think that's probably where the steady stream of Jet fan most resides right now. Or are you detecting something different with some of the messages or no?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some that's like looking ahead for the rest of this season, kind of like we got one from Mr. E, and he said, when are we going to get a look at Jordan Travis? Because I feel like people, when you get to this point in the season and you stink, I feel like people are a big fan of like, yeah, sure, we might want to draft a guy, but let's see what we have with the backup. So, like, throw, you know, Tyrod in there, throw Jordan Travis in there.
Hey, let's see what Bryce Petty's got. let's see what Mike White's got. Yeah, I know. That is something we know a lot about. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't even think he's ready. I don't think he can play. So, I'm not saying that there's not an element of intrigue down the road. Yeah. With him, I saw him play in college. Intrigued enough to, all right, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing him during the summer for sure. Yeah. Some real reps, but man, oh man, just imagine you're back home, and it's not even like now all the storylines about the Colts was about Richardson. He's big and he's fast and he is, and he's got a rocket, can throw 30. He can throw a football 30 yards sitting on his ass, literally sitting on the turf with his butt hitting and like 30 yards without even any torque, like no leg involvement, no whip. It's insane. He's a freak, but he's messy. He's sloppy. So that was all the talk about them coming in. What was overlooked was that the Colts defense isn't good. Yeah. Like, it's not like this defense rolled in and they're a bunch of badasses and they're highly ranked across the board. I think they were 28th or so, or maybe even 29th. Like, their defense was very porous, and five straight possessions with no first downs. It's one of the stranger games I've watched, and I've watched a lot of strange games with this team. I don't know what to tell you, Jet fans. I don't know what to tell you. I really thought they were going to win today, and I wanted them to win today. I did. Oh, man. So what do we have, a bye, right? We could come to a bye?
Yep. And then, of course, you got like, you know, should we rename the Jets Jaguars as the toilet bowl, you know?
Dude, how bad are they, the Jaguars?
Yeah, man. They're going to have an interim guy. It's going to be the interim bowl because Doug Peterson, unless they're just like, you know, we'll wait until, what is it, Black Monday to
– No, I don't think they're going to wait. I think they're going to move on from both him and the GM, Trent Baalke. Baalke stinks. I remember Trent Baalke was out. He was the 49ers GM when Jim Harbaugh was the coach. Yep. And I was out there for not quite 2 years, a little less than that, doing an afternoon drive for the new sports station that started up on the FM 95.7, the game. And we had Harbaugh on – but I had Trent Baalke on every single week, and man, he was rough, dude. Like I remember I got so now I just start telling stories. I was so pissed. We had him on every Monday. I'm sure we paid him money to come on. And he was one of these guys who like gives you nothing. So you got to sit through a boring interview. And as a host, I'm not saying that I'm amazing, but I definitely can detect when things are getting boring. And in my mind, when things get boring, I feel the need to, you know, either get combative or, you know, start getting a little nutty, getting a little loud. That's just my internal, you know, radio mechanism, right? My quarterback clock, so to speak. And I remember I was so pissed because Braylon Edwards, I don't know if you remember, he was there for a minute. Do you remember that? When he went out there for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. And we have him on the show. And we asked him, and like we talked to him off the air before he came on. I said, "Hey, Trent, there was like a couple of injury notes I just wanted to get a sense of, so when I had him on, I could at least be buttoned up." Long story short, I asked about Braylon. Nothing, right? I ask him on the air just so the audience can hear. And again, Braylon wasn't playing much for them, so it wasn't huge. But you know, as soon as the interview ends, I see on Twitter like, "Oh yeah, Braylon, the Niners just announced Braylon Edwards' hamstring will prevent him from playing whoever the hell they were playing." And I'm like, "What an ass! Like, what a wasted interview." Yeah. I think he's a horrendous GM. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not looking to get personal here, but yeah, you brought up the Jaguars. I can promise you, Trent Baalke's going to be out
for sure.
And no, the Jets should not give him a call to be in the market moving there. I'll tell you, as crazy as it sounds, and you know, Trent Baalke was part of some good teams with the Niners. I'll take Joe Douglas every day over Trent Baalke. That's how bad Trent Baalke's been for a while. Oh God. Yeah, keep doing this, Evan. I'm gonna make some enemies the rest of the night here. Let's just start running down the hit list, right? We will not do that. We will not devolve into that here on the Unkillable Pod. We won't do it, man. Appreciate everybody hanging out. So I do have to figure out what we're going to do with the bye week. We will do something. I had Willie Colon on this week. If you missed it, honestly, go give it a shot. Willie was great. Really, really awesome. Raw, fun, very transparent. Hit all the topics, you guys, from a player's perspective. All the things that you want to know. And there's no bullshit like, "Oh, this guy's still really good." Like he was very honest. He brought it. He was real. That's why I wanted him to be the first guest. I think certainly in the next month or so, I'll reach out to my guy, Krabet. I'm going to try to get Joe Namath on. I'm going to try to get Woody on. I am going to try my best to get Woody Johnson on the show. And I promise, as much as we do on this pod and it's unfiltered, he would be treated with the utmost respect. Like I would not, the questions would be asked that need to be asked. The follow-ups would be presented. And some may be in an aggressive manner, but there would be no off-color language. It would be, I would treat him the way a guest should be treated. I'm working on it. I can't promise it, but I'm going to try. I'm already trying my absolute hardest to deliver that. So in the meantime, hey, you know, listen, it's hard to ruin NFL Sundays when we're already dead inside. I mean, that's, I guess that's the one saving grace, right? You know, even though we regenerate and then we die again and then we, you know, we crawl back after saying, ah, I'm probably not even going to watch the game, or I'll watch it with one eye open. And then the Jets score a touchdown, you perk up a little bit, and then you die again. And fuck it, season's over. Bye, Seattle, at Miami. Yeah, whatever. Watch, you'll be back. For whatever reason, you will be back, and so will I. So wherever your pods are, whether it's Spotify, Apple, check it out. Spread the word. We got some more guests coming up. And with that, we say goodbye. I can promise you that, well, I would hope. And if not, then I've got to reconsider what I'm doing here, that this pod is better than the Jets. Like that I feel pretty good saying. So I'll catch you tomorrow on the fan with my guy, Sal. Have a great rest of your Sunday. And I will catch you either Wednesday or Thursday for the next pod. Have a great day, guys. We'll see you.